Hello, marketing interns. The boys from the back pocket are back. Season 2. Let's ride.
It is Monday, February 5th, and we are just having a day. It's been a blast so far. Getting ready to start our week. The craziest part about all of it is it's a season 2 premiere. So I'm a little nervous. I don't know about you.
I got a lot of energy. I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to ramble. Yeah. I might go off on tangents, but I'm here, baby.
Yeah, and I think that's what this first podcast is going to be all about. I mean, we haven't been around for 6 weeks. What did you guys think we were doing? Sitting on the couch and just doing nothing the whole time? No, we were having experiences. We were generating content for you. It was a little self-journey. Andrew went to Hawaii. I went to Canada and Colorado. We had our own times. We discovered more about ourselves, I think. I think we're better.
I'll let you guys be the judge of that.
Absolutely. But you know what? We may have been a little different, or things may have changed around our world, but the boys in the back pocket are still the same. And with that being said, you know, we're always going to start how we always start.
Absolutely. Average quality. We've been generating content for quite some time, for 6 weeks. And we have to start off with average quality because that's what we do. That's what our podcast is based on. This week our average quality is
it's us being or introducing the idea of a seasonal podcast. So Andrew and I, we're going in, you know, brainstorming, like, what are we going to do? We are not going to be together for 6 weeks. Like, what's the best way to go about this? So what we decided was, instead of pre-recording things to release out that whole time, we didn't really have much time during finals week, and you know, with everything going on, the holidays, of course, not going to get into that. But we had to brainstorm. We had to come up with something. So what we decided was come up with the seasonal podcast idea. So we just finished our first season last year, and that was kind of our whole encapsulating season of 35 episodes.
Well, the season went from February to December. Yeah. I mean, granted, we are literally just taking a little break.
Yeah.
And then you're just going to break it up and just call it a season.
Yeah. It worked perfectly, yeah. And I love the idea. I think it was fantastic, but I would say the average quality is just always us being on the run and always just kind of figuring it out as we go, and it's never like a pre... There's nothing that we think about. We have our actions require thoughts, obviously, but we kind of just make it up as we go for the most part.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to say, after vocalizing this average quality, I think it can lean towards more of our average quality being... We are only a good podcast when we are together live. And correct. That's what we agreed on because we both give and take relationship. You know, we both have our pros and our cons. And if we're not together in person, you cannot utilize that relationship totally. Yeah. So when we were away from each other for 6 weeks, there was no way that we could have generated the content.
The
back pocket couldn't exist.
Exactly. Couldn't exist. Perfect. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's a great point. It's like a football team. Got to have 11 players on the field if you want to have success.
Yes.
So, you know, with that being said, moving on, what did we do this whole time? Where were we? What were we doing? We were, well, first of all, you were in Hawaii, like I previously mentioned. I was in Colorado and Canada.
Yes.
But we have a few stories. So, you know, one of our favorite segments, the curbside stories.
Yeah. I'll start us off.
Okay.
So, 6 weeks, we were gone. 4 of those weeks, I was in Hawaii. 2 of them, I was back home in Chicago. I have a beautiful curbside story that I will be telling my kids for sure, without a doubt.
Maybe just have them listen to the podcast. They could subscribe on iTunes. They could follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And then they could also look on our YouTube page and our alleged SoundCloud page. And then they could listen to it then, too. So what would you tell your future kids right now?
If I were to tell my future kids one story about Hawaii, I think it would be Waimea Bay. Okay. So I traveled up to the north
coast. Can you say that like slower so people understand what you just said there?
Sure. This is a story about going up to the north coast of Oahu at specifically Waimea Bay. Waimea Bay is a shore break wave beach. Okay. So the waves break at shoreline.
Okay.
And that means there's no really give when the wave breaks. It's hitting sand almost immediately.
It's violent.
It's very violent. These waves are roughly between 20 and 40 feet. And when we walked up on the intercom, the lifeguard goes, "If you are not an excellent swimmer, please stay out of the water. If you are a small child, parents, please watch over them. Oh. If you see people in the water, they are probably locals and they understand the tides and the currents and the rifts of the waves.
Wow.
And we're like, oh, sweet, sweet, yeah, yeah. And then we see everyone out there. There's like 40 people in the water, and they're just having a blast, smiles on their face, getting smushed by these 20 to 40 foot waves. And we're like, there's 20 of us. We all just immediately drop our stuff and sprint in there. Basically didn't process what the lifeguard said. We had three boogie boards. Me and two other guys grab our boogie boards and just sprint in there like we're in a Hawaiian movie.
Yeah, and would you describe yourself as naturally buoyant, or are you more made of like lead and you sink?
Below average.
Below average.
Yeah,
okay.
I can tread. I can get the job done, but my survival skills are basics.
Okay.
Okay.
Right on.
So, but I do understand body surfing. I understand when you're supposed to start kicking, when you're supposed to catch the wave and go in. But these are not. That's a non-shore break wave. That's where my head's at.
Okay.
So I'm thinking I can catch the wave and ride it in all the way in and then run back out.
Yeah.
So I see the first big wave and I'm like, this is money. This is mine. And the two other guys are like, let's do it. And we start kicking. The locals scream, kick, kick, kick. And I'm kicking as fast as I can. And boom, I get to the top of that wave. And I'm literally on top of everyone, 30 feet in the air.
Right.
And I can see the whole beach. People are looking up at us with like big eyes. And then wave breaks. I go literally vertical, perpendicular with the ground, and my head goes straight into the sand. Feet go over the top. I scorpion myself. Boogie board was wrapped around my wrist with a string, rips off, and then I get up. My back is like, I think I'm paralyzed. My feet start working, and I'm like looking for the boogie board. Grab the boogie board, turn around, another wave. Boom, smash. I'm then barrel rolling in the water. I get up, see the two other guys are like D-Day'd, crawling out of the sand. And I turn around, just barely avoiding the third wave. And I get out of the sand and I'm on my back, huffing and puffing, thinking I just barely escaped death.
So Storm of the Beaches in Normandy.
Storm of the Beaches in Normandy was the finale of that.
Oh my
and
gosh.
And we all were like, I don't need to go in the water again. I'm going to just sit back and watch.
I think I'm going to listen to the man.
I'm going to listen to the lifeguard because...
Tell the tourists, like, hey, don't go in.
That it was insane.
But you wouldn't be the person you are today if you didn't do it, right?
Correct. And I quickly learned, and I'm very humbled experience, to really, truly appreciate the ocean now.
Okay.
Because it is so powerful. It is so controlling. When you step foot in that ocean, you are the ocean's...
The ocean is your canvas, and you're just kind of...
No,
not at all.
No, the ocean, it canvases you. It takes you in whatever word you can describe where when you go in the water, you're trapped, and you're now the ocean controls you.
So it's a jail?
It's basically like a jail.
Okay.
Like, you just need to quickly realize that the higher power is the water.
Okay.
And you need to
respect
it.
It's an external force.
You need to respect the ocean.
Yeah, okay. I like that. Well, very similar to the ocean is, you know, the external force. I had a very alternate experience with a mountain. And so I brought in my good friend here, a friend of the program, second string producer, Mark. Let's go give him a round of applause.
Thanks, guys.
Mark, how you doing today?
Doing great. It's good to be back.
This is a perfect experience to bring you back because, I mean, what's your lines? Catching turns?
Making turns, hitting freshies.
Yeah,
Jumping cornices, you know, just focusing on your next turn, you know, just being yourself, being in the present moment, you know, shredding some chowder. And so that it was a perfect transition, you know, the mountain, like I tried saying the ocean was a canvas where it's more of an external force. The weather associated with a mountain is the external force, whereas the mountain is the canvas. So, you know, I'm a skier, Mark's a snowboarder. Mark and I went up to Canada. We went to Whistler, Canada, which is about 2 hours north of Vancouver. It's on the west side. Mark and I were driving up and it's just absolutely beautiful. It's, I think it's the Atlantic Ocean. Is that what it is?
Pacific.
No, Pacific's,
Pacific's
on the east
the
side.
West. Pacific's the west. Atlantic's east.
Oh, okay. So
I was
yeah.
in the Pacific.
Yeah, yeah, Pacific. So we're both in the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
Not to brag. But yeah, we are in the Pacific. Or we weren't in the Pacific. The Pacific Ocean's right next to Whistler.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all
okay.
these just mountains. Like right next to Pacific Ocean, we're driving up, and it's just a phenomenal time. Just absolutely beautiful. Fast forward, you know, Mark and I get there. We're all in one piece. We ski the first day, you know, kind of learn the mountain, you know, let the mountain kind of accept us and bring us into the fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're shredding chowder all day, you know, just, you know, taking in everything that Whistler has to offer. So we get our confidence, we get our bearings, going full head on this head first in the second day. So, we wake up early again, you know, we're skiing like 8:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. in the afternoon, got a full day. So Mark and I are taking like the second gondola up at 8:30 on our second day, and a couple locals are there with us, or not there with us. We got on the gondola with some locals, a couple old guys who go up every Friday, you know, nothing, no big deal. And we were like, hey, like, what's your best mountain, or what's the best snow in Whistler? Like, where do we go? And they said Spanky's Ladder. And so, you know, we took their suggestion. And it's actually over in the Blackcomb side. So there's a Whistler, and it's Whistler Blackcomb, and they're two different peaks, and they're connected by this crazy 28-person gondola. So we skied Whistler in the first half of the day. Second half of the day, we went to Blackcomb. And so we skied the Blackcomb Glacier. And
this has Spanky's Ladder inside it.
Yeah, well, so Spanky's Ladder, you have to get off this lift, and then you hike up along this ridge line, and then you kind of just, you drop down into the Blackcomb Glacier on, like, the, I want to say the east side of it. We had skied the west side the other day.
Okay.
So the east side was kind of more untouched. Is that right, Mark, by the way?
Yeah, we got off the lift. I think we skied across, like, traversed across the side of the mountain and then hiked up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we skied a little bit and then hiked up, and then you kind of go over the peak.
Over the peak.
Over Blackcomb Glacier, and then you ski down on the opposite side. So anyways, Mark and I get up there. The hike was a little sketchy, I'd say.
Yeah.
What
does that mean? Like, you got to...
It was steep. Okay. It was real steep. It was pretty icy. So we're just kind of making our way up slowly, digging in the boots into the side of the mountain.
It's basically like you kind of need crampons. It would have been easier.
It would have been helpful, yeah. For sure.
Crampons would have been nice. Mm-hmm.
Declan was kind of kicking in with those, like, hard
plastic ski boots.
Ski boots. I was using my board, just, like, climbing up it. We get to the top. It looks like a great run from the start.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, just kind of wide open. There was signs that had just kind of a pole in the ground with that said cliff, and there was cliff signs like every.
It says warning cliff or just cliff.
Just cliff.
Like
just cliff.
Hello, cliff.
Yeah. Hey.
Hi, cliff.
Cliff is here. Okay. You don't know where it is because it's just flat and it's snow. And another thing about Whistler is people call it stuck in the cloud. And you're literally actually stuck in a cloud. So the mountains are so high up that you're either above the clouds or right in the clouds. So Mark and I are stuck in a cloud. And when you're stuck in the cloud, the visibility is very shoddy. It's not very
good. There's going to be many cliffs. And do you want to say hi to Cliff, or are you going to say quickly, goodbye, Cliff, I'm going to avoid you?
It depends. So if it's Cliff Kingsbury, you definitely want to hang out with Cliff.
Okay.
But if it's like a cliff bar, and you like cliff bars, they all taste the same. They're like, I'm kind of sick of cliff bars. So you don't want to go that way.
Okay.
Anyways, we got cliff signs every 10 feet that are roughly, like, what, 100 feet away from us, just kind of down, like, right after you hiked up. So we got all these cliff signs, and really it's you either go way right and stay super high and drop into kind of where we were the previous day, and we're like, yeah, we don't really want to do that. We know what that's all about. We did that yesterday. Or you can go left, and you had to really go down the hill left, and then you'd make your way into the Spanky's Ladder. And so we were like, what you typically do when you don't know of what a new, like, if you're going down a run for the first time, you usually want to stay as high as you can for as long as you can, because you want to know what the mountain has to offer for you in those certain areas. Because if you just go down one way right away, you could A, run into trouble, you could B, miss all the chowder, and that would just stink.
Yep.
And so what we did is we stayed high and we kind of just skied right in the middle between the right and the left. But we had the idea of going left.
Okay.
So we skied down a little bit, skied down left a little bit, stayed high, like I was saying. And, you know, I was pretty confident. We skied past a couple cliff signs. Didn't really think much of it because it looked, you know, doable.
I also want to mention that Whistler had these cliff signs everywhere.
Everywhere. So if you see
the previous day, we were riding stuff, cliffs everywhere. There was always a good way to get around them.
Yeah,
so
and
we
it
were
was
confident seeing the cliff signs. We weren't scared off. We were like, all right, cliffs, but there'll be some good runs in here. We'll work our way through it.
Right, and so if it was roped off, there was a difference. So if it was cliff with ropes in between it, you definitely weren't going there. You weren't supposed to go there. But if it was just like a cliff and then no rope and then another,
it was literally cliff, say cliff, do as you please.
Yeah, and so that like you said, that was what we were doing, and so that was a routine at that point. And so that's what we did. We stayed high. We're going down, and I start skiing a little bit. And, you know, I'm getting a groove going. And then all of a sudden, I just had, like, this really instinctual just, like, put on the brakes because it just didn't feel right. So I put on the brakes. I sit there for a second. About 10 feet in front of me, I see a bird fly out from underneath my feet. And
like a big?
It was like a sparrow, like a black bird. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was a black
bird. We're talking 6 foot wingspan.
Yeah.
And huge. Like
golden eagle.
Golden eagle.
I saw this.
Yeah.
I saw this just. Golden eagle.
Yeah. Beautiful. Come out of the side of the cliff and you're
right.
You're,
beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful.
Your eyes, your jaw drops. Yeah. Pterodactyl looking bird and your jaw drops.
You know, something you've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Oh,
here goes our GoPro.
It's okay. It's all right.
So yeah, we're.
So we slam on the brakes.
We slam on the brakes. And it was, and I see this bird fly out, and it, when a bird flies out underneath the cliff, it gives you super good perspective of, you know, just what, of like where you're at. And we were right there on a cliff. It was fairly evident
right
at that point that we were about 5 feet away from a 50-foot cliff. And so I look back at Mark, I'm like, hey, we need to move a little bit over. Like, this doesn't seem like a good area to be in. And so... We kind of skied right a little bit and avoided the obvious cliff, and then we got in a sticky situation. So we got in a situation where you're in between two large cliffs. So when we say cliff, we're not saying like a small rock. We're saying anywhere from 20 to 50 feet, just a straight drop. So it's pretty gnarly. Definitely not smart. What were you thinking at this point, by the way?
For a split second, I was thinking, I gotta get my phone on, we gotta get airlifted out of here, because I didn't know if we were gonna be able to drop through these cliffs. And then things started to open up a little bit, and I knew it wasn't gonna be easy, but I said, we're definitely making it through these cliffs, and there's some fresh chowder beneath us, so let's make it down there and start surfing big waves.
Yeah. And, you know, chasing the dream.
Yeah.
And, Mark, you absolutely did that. You chose the right way. You chose a great way to get down. And you kind of just, you heel-turned your way through and just kind of got around, like, the big rock on the right. How did that go exactly?
Just kind of came up to it, was looking down. I had a lot of snow drifting right behind me. It was kind of pushing me down into it. But I pretty much just did a butt slide through it. Had to just kind of hop over a few little rocks and... worked my way through it, but
ended up working all right. Yeah. For me,
I get down about probably dropped like 30 feet, slid through it, and then I look up and I see Declan trapped in between these two big cliffs, and it's just like this probably 5 foot wide line, if that, with rocks in the middle. So then I just kind of sat back and watched how. How Deck was getting down it.
Yeah, so I saw Mark kind of go to my right as he was just explaining, and I saw this chute, and I was like, I could definitely hit this. I'm going to go full send on it and just kind of ski out to the right where Mark was. What I didn't realize was how small the gap was. So like Mark said, it was about 5 feet, and you really had to send it from the top. There was really no slowing down, and the problem was is I really didn't know what was right below that turn. So it was a blind turn, and you're going down, you know, extreme velocities, whatever. So I took my time down. I kind of just, I was just on like a sideways turn the majority of the time. And then I ended up getting stuck in between the two rocks. So the gap wasn't wide enough for me to just slide down in between. I had to go straight down. So I'm stuck in between two cliffs, right on the top. And I have to wedge myself backwards to get forwards. And anyways, I get down. My first turn, my adrenaline was rushing so much that I just... And there was so much snow that on my first turn, my right leg just kind of caught out from underneath me. So I was skiing with one ski, and then I just kind of crashed. And then from there, we skied the rest of Spanky's Ladder. We got out of it okay. Skied some pretty sweet chowder.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But... at the end of the day, it was just like, wow, we looked kind of back up after it, and we were just like, how did we just get down that? Like, it was absurd how big it was.
Very.
Very gnarly.
Like, great memories.
Yeah, great memories.
The memories were captured forever, and were able to get some good footage out of that, or was that a run that you just...
we got that one all on the GoPro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of good footy.
Always seeking for footy. So those are just two glimpses of the 6-week experience that we were both able to...
thank you, Mark.
Experience, and we have plenty more stories that we'll probably be sharing throughout season two.
Yeah, as they come along.
It's just curbside stories, so if we think we have one that you can tell on a curb while you're sitting for the bus to come with your average Joe sitting next to you, then we're going to be sharing those type of things.
Why not, right?
I don't know, Declan, what was your overall thoughts on the visualization you were able to lay out? Do you think that people will truly be able to capture it, or is it just one of those experiences you're like, this is beyond
I think explaining. The one thing that the listeners, the marketing interns need to know is it was snowy, it was hardly visible, and it was just untouched. So whenever you're skiing and, you know, you're used to seeing, you know, people skiing through stuff and it's fine. But the second you go somewhere, like in the trees or, you know, somewhere that's really just unmarked and you don't know anything and, like, you haven't seen someone skate it before, your jitters start getting going. And so that's kind of where we were at, is we were at a point where no one was really skiing this kind of stuff because it was so extreme. And it was just a fight or flight moment, kind of like your storm the beaches of Normandy or Waimea Bay.
Mm-hmm.
You had to get out of there. And so that's kind of where we were at, is we had to use our best techniques just to get down that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like one of the best parts of skiing, is like, it's a really, you're in the present moment and you have to fight or flight it right away. And most of the time you can't just flee it, because how else are you going to get down, right?
I mean, segment alert the hell out of that one, because Darwinism of the week, or however we used to call that segment.
Oh, the evolutionary update?
Evolutionary update is between the beaches of Waimea Bay and the mountain of Whistler and Spanky's Ladder. Yeah. I mean, those two things are literally the embodiment of Darwinism.
Yeah.
Survival of the fittest, figure yourself out and adapt quick, because
adjust and go.
Yeah, because you might lose your life.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say we were in a life or death situation, but it sure as hell felt like a life or death situation. And my adrenaline was rushing to the point where I felt that way. And I think, like, it was a great experience. Like, I would go back and do Spanky's Ladder again. I clearly would know how to get down.
Mm-hmm.
I would go far left. But, you know, I love being in those adrenaline rush experiences. Like, I live for that.
At the end of the day, that's when we're at our best.
Yeah.
You
find out who you truly are.
You find out who you truly are. So, stay tuned. We have plenty more curbside stories from our six-week journey, reflection, growth, month, week span, however you want to call it. More to come. Stay tuned. Let's trap the puck. You know, it is Super Bowl week right here. We're not the biggest podcast sports guys. Like, we don't come here to talk about sports, but we do come here to talk about experiences.
Yeah, we're an experience podcast, not a sports podcast.
That's correct.
We're also average experiences. We're average guys, so there's nothing too crazy that we bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
However, the experience that the Super Bowl's coming into town, and we're here for it, 15 minutes away from it, is the most finite experience I think I could ever think of.
Very finite. You get roughly 2 weeks, a little less, of people coming in to the state that you are currently located. Today, it's Minnesota. 1 year from now, it could be somewhere else. But right now, we're in Minnesota.
It will be somewhere else.
And it could be.
Confirm that.
Okay. And we are in Minnesota. The Super Bowl is here. That means people are coming in. And it's the time of the year where they're truly getting to experience Minnesota. It is the heart of the cold. It is so brisk out there. No one leaves their house. Yet there's zip lining across the Mississippi for those who want to experience that at the Super Bowl. A lot of tourism events.
A lot of frostbite.
A lot of frostbite available if you're seeking for that.
Just a lot of people coming and going, giving and taking, you know, just doing their things, being there. Being tourism, being people, just, you know, and taking everything in that they possibly can.
And we wanted to have an inside perspective of someone who lives in St. Paul, someone who lives in Minnesota, and come here on a podcast. We were going to have our buddy Lorch. However, Lorch is afraid to sit down
and talk.
And talk about it right now.
And face the reality that people are in his, like, hometown. So one thing that I've really noticed, and, you know, Lorch, if he decides to talk or not, you know, let him be, right? One thing that Minnesotans are super proud about is Minnesota. It's pretty obvious. Everyone that's born here and raised here most likely stays here, or at least have a lot of pride in Minnesota. And so when people are coming into their place, you know, they get a little uneasy, but they're not going to be, you know, overly like, hey, what are you doing here type thing. They're going to be very nice about it. You know, Minnesota nice. Keep your standards high.
Yeah.
Especially when you're trying to show off your city and your state to people, you have to be overly nice too.
So and, there's, oh, go ahead.
And so with that being said, you know how the Eagles absolutely stomped on the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
And the Eagles fans are, the Eagles and people from Philadelphia are almost the white to the Minnesota black. They're completely opposite. And they got stomped. Eagles fans are, you know, very rambunctious. You know, Minnesota fans do not take kindly to Eagles fans. It's very, very blatant. But I have not seen any sort of, you know, nothing on Barstool, no, like, news headlines of fighting. There's Minnesota people are welcoming these Philadelphia Eagles fans with open arms and just love, I think.
Allegedly.
And it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, from a perspective of someone who's not affiliated with either of those teams,
yeah.
My viewpoint of it is there's two types. One, the person, the Vikings fan, that is so butthurt that they just can't even vocalize their opinion. They see an Eagles fan, and they're just kind of like so sad because the Vikings have habitually failed to get the job done when the time is meaningful most.
Yeah.
So they don't say anything.
Yeah, would you say the Vikings could use a little bit of a Charles Darwin evolutionary update? They definitely could. They could learn a little bit
from
us.
They need to evolve.
Yeah, they need to start fighting more than flying.
Correct. And the Eagles started to fly.
For sure.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Eagles, fly.
And then there's the other Vikings fan who is a butthurt in a different way that they need to go and talk about the experience, but they're not going to talk bad about it. They're going to come up to the Eagles fan and just say, hey, man, like, you really got to us. Congrats on your win. And they're just going to be so nice about it because they need to release some of that anger. But, you know, there's Minnesota nice.
So just like, hey, good game. You know, that was really fun. Yeah. You know, you guys beat us really well. You figured this out. But then they'll start talking about, like, tater tot hot dish.
And then,
like,
it's hockey season, so.
Yeah, so they're not worried, even though the Wild, they're kind of average.
Yeah, but they're kicking into some gear.
Yeah, and but what I thought was, what's the coolest part about us, the guys who shouldn't, or kind of just happened to be in Minnesota at this time, you know, chose to go to school 4 years ago, didn't really know that the Super Bowl is going to be your senior year.
That wasn't on our radar reasons to come here.
Yeah, that wasn't, definitely not a sales pitch or recruiting pitch for Andrew and I to make our ways out here. But now that we're here, we're like, all right, sweet. Like, let's make the most of the opportunity. So you go down to Minneapolis now, and there's just so many people that you can meet. And they're all, a lot of them are famous people. And, like, it's just cool to be able to say you saw, like, all these, like, Von Miller or Deshaun Watson or Alvin Kamara. Or
Barstool. And speaking of Barstool, you know, a people's podcast, they call themselves. A people's podcast would have made themselves available for
us, the people.
Yeah. We reached out to them and we didn't receive any type of response. No automated response.
Sure.
Nothing. I'm not gonna say I'm bummed because they are. I don't know if they're
busy.
They're busy and they don't really fit our mold.
Not as well as we fit our mold.
Correct. So there's that.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool to actually meet a lot of those people though. So I've been. I went out to go see the Barstool radio show down in Minneapolis. That was one of the experiences I had with Super Bowl week so far. And what was actually really cool and actually shocking to me was how just, like, humble and, like, how just normal people they are. Like, they have Barstool's a $100 million company now, and they've built themselves from the ground up, and they have this really, like, arrogant attitude about how they've done it and, like,
on screen
and, like, but once you actually meet the people, you just realize there's normal people. Like, I met the CEO, Erica Narcandini or whatever. She was awesome. She her go-to is to, like, compliment you on everything, especially if it's, like, Barstool tire.
Okay.
But she was very just, like, very down to earth and was really open to just talking to a bunch of college guys that really loved or and appreciated what they've done. Similar to the bloggers too, like Big Cat, Dan Katz, had a privilege to, like, say hi to him and say hi to Hank, who's, like, their producer. And those guys are, like, really cool guys. They had really all they were really talking about was sports and stuff. But the fact that they can make time and, you know, really get to know the people is really cool. And I think that's a huge part of, like, a podcaster's job is to know who you're talking to and, like, actually have experiences with your listeners and get authentic feedback rather than always being on Twitter or always being on Instagram and getting feedback that way.
And for that, we thank them because they are one of the inspirations behind us.
Yeah,
and to see them off screen in a light that is sort of inspirational, sort of like a culmination of everything, because you're like, these guys are awesome. They're actually good, genuine people.
Yeah, and it makes you want to support them more than you did before. And a lot of the funniest thing is the Barstool demographic is what I call it, is just anybody from like 18 to like 25. So it's just like a really young, Is that the millennials? Is that
yeah? I think you can bump it up a little higher in millennials, but 18 is probably the youngest you can go.
Yeah, 18 to upper 20s. Yeah, 30, whatever. Then that was pretty much those were the people that were there. But it was really cool just to see, you know, a collection of those people and, you know, how they responded to all that. So yeah.
And for that, again, kind of kickstarts our season 2 podcast. You know, we're always going to try to make ourselves more available, and with that we are going to try to put content on YouTube. I know we've been saying it for a while, but we're gonna try
put content on there.
Today we had a podcast, or right now we're having this podcast, and it was going awesome. We had the camera up there, we were catching some great footy, and then the camera fell and the battery died. So you know, it's a learning process.
It's such a learning curve. But the coolest thing is, like, those Barstool people went through the same kind of thing. Like, the struggle is very common amongst all these people. And so that's why I really appreciate it, is like, those guys brought out that struggle still. Like, they're not these, like, I'm better. They didn't walk around like they were better than everyone and that everyone knew them. They just walked around like they wanted to be a stoolie themselves, or like just one of the people. So that's like one of the things I really appreciate the most. But that's exactly what our podcast is all about.
So as Declan sits home with the Barstool guys and is not a marketing intern, but someone who is going to a consistent listener, we ask you guys, marketing interns, to enjoy the ride, enjoy our journey, and share it with us, because we're also going through so many struggles with the back pocket and the podcast realm, and what we're going to do with it and how we're going to expand it, what takes place from investing money to generating different types of content to making sure we are always consistent with our message. Just allowing ourselves to maximize the back pocket atmosphere and brand. It's a learning process, and the struggles are ebbs and flows, strikes and gutters, and we're just going to continue to push forward and enjoy this ride, because I know Declan and I are sure are. Yeah,
and we absolutely love it. We appreciate you guys and everything that you guys do for us. And, you know, going back to, like, our struggles, but along with our struggles comes our success. You know, we had, if you look back at our season one accomplishments, those things were, you know, things that I would have never expected us to actually do, like get an article written on us, or get an NFL player, Jason Morrow, on, or get the president of our university on twice, or, you know, different, just totally abstract and
having the ability to put out an hour podcast, like 16 weeks in a row, during the football season, with girlfriends.
Not to brag. That's very impressive. Something you kind of want to put on your resume at some point. Let other people know.
You can definitely tip your hat to that.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's the thing, is we're moving forward, and we're not just going to stop and reflect. We got things to work on.
We are stopping and reflecting, right?
Well, currently.
We always stop and reflect. However, there's always more opportunities to grow. That's what the reflection is for.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Exactly. Thank you, Andrew. Mm-hmm. And we're also still looking for an intern, so someone that could help us with the YouTube stuff. And actually, we just had a camera fall over. If we had an intern, that wouldn't happen. We trust that an intern would, you know, help us out in that regard. Mm-hmm. So again, Back Pocket's looking to hire an intern. If anyone's available, or if you know of anyone, please let us know.
And I mean, that carries over to our back end. You know, this is a very unique podcast. We usually always have an interview, but we really want to just hit home to our marketing interns from the get-go in season 2 that we are here for you guys.
Yeah.
And there's going to be many guests to come. I mean, I think we're going to have a couple more professors that we've been dying to get on. We're going to have the guy who created the website for the Super Bowl. We're going to have a professor of mine who was in my junior year that really hits home on interpersonal communications. I want to get my father on because he's a lead marketing intern, and I know his story. A personal story and just a story of listening to us is just a good time to talk. And he's always, great face for radio. Perfectly well said. Any other guests you want to mention?
One of the original miners of Bitcoin. We're trying to get one of those guys on. We are trying to get on. One of the other guys was another seminarian, another priest. We're trying to get on a lawyer. And we're just trying to start expanding. And, you know, we can say we're going to get on all these cool people, but really, it's just as it comes, you know. We just find new opportunities every single day, and whatever we see fit, we kind of just go with. And, you know, so it's if I were to sit here and plan out the next 16 weeks or X amount of weeks on who we're going to have every single week, it's just not feasible. But that's kind of the joy of all of it is, like, I don't know, and the marketing interns don't know, but the experiences come along with the whole
hustle and bustle.
And it just is going to happen.
Strikes and gutters, man.
Strikes and gutters.
So this will now be the back end. So for those new listeners, we usually have an interview in the middle, and then we kick it to the back end, and we finish with two segments. So this is our back end. We're at our best because we've already been speaking, been generating content for roughly 40 minutes at this point. And we're going to kick off the back end with a what did you learn. We always do what did you learn in a feel-good story. Declan, please start us off with season two opener of what did you learn.
So this might be a little underwhelming because probably most of the listeners know what this means. They've already probably, this is prior knowledge. So I'm probably not educating you guys, but what I learned was what pro bono means. So I think you've said it on, even on this podcast before, and I just didn't know what
you're saying. Yeah, it clicks, but never settled.
Yeah, correct. So pro bono just means you work for free. Whatever your labor was that you put in is not compensated for. It's just a free labor thing. I'm in, like, a lawyer class right now. It's, like, my fourth theology. That's really just not – it's a Theo 400 class that has to do with lawyers. And a lawyer buzzword is definitely pro bono, so I had to look it up, and, you know, that's how I learned it, so – Lawyer buzzwords, and I'm sure I will
educate. So pro bono is working for free.
Because lawyers are all about
the generosity of others, because you want to help something out.
Right, and what I found out is we're a pro bono podcast. Mm-hmm. So we're giving out content for free.
Yeah, sometimes you work pro bono because you want a learning experience. You're trying to get new skill set in something, so you're like, all right, I'll offer my skills for free to help you advance, because they're getting paid in some direction.
Okay.
We're pro bono just because...
no one's going to pay us.
No one's paying us to do this.
Not yet, I don't think.
Bunch of goofball average dudes. Come on.
Sheesh.
Gosh. Kidding me. I'm going to focus in again with that 6-week reflection. Sure. What did I learn over that month? In Hawaii, people view Hawaii, it's the paradise island. And as they should, it is totally an island where you step on to and you are just... in awe, because the beaches, the land, the forests, the waterfalls, everything. The natural resource, it's outstanding. But the people, they're very unique, and that's what I was able to truly learn during that 4-week span that I was there. So when you hear aloha, you think of hello. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a difference between that with the meaning of it behind the natives that live in Hawaii. So the aloha spirit is the idea of offering your presence without an expectation of anything in return. So
pro bono.
Again, ooh, perfect. It's totally pro bono. You are so, when someone walks up to you and you say aloha, you're saying, hello, let's have a conversation and let's just enjoy each other's people to people.
Yeah.
But it's been turned into the tourism version because that's what Hawaii's main source of revenue is aloha. So not many people truly know what aloha is. Aloha is... like, actually, it means giving of your breath. And the other person there, if they say aloha back, that means they've received your breath, and now they're offering theirs in return.
Oh, nice.
So never stick your hand out and shake their hands and say aloha, because they're not asking for your hand. That is what Captain Cook did, who was the first European settler in Hawaii. Captain Cook said hello and stuck out his hand. So now every person that is not a native of Hawaii is referred to as a haole. And a haole is no breath. So if you're not native from Hawaii, you're considered a haole, because the very first person that was not native of Hawaii offered their hand. They were no breath. Haoles.
Wow. That's awesome.
That's what I learned.
Well, good education there.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's a bit of a feel-good story, a bit of a sad story, because there's a lot of detriment going on to Hawaii after Captain Cook arrived. But that's a different time, a different place.
A different podcast.
So let's finish with a positive note, a feel-good story.
As we always do. So this one is kind of a favorite of ours. As a podcast, we believe in good competition. With that being said, the Sochi Olympics are coming up. So that's our feel-good story, is just the Sochi Olympics are coming.
South Korea?
No, oh wait.
So she was 2014.
Oh wait.
We're going to South Korea, man.
Pyeongchang or whatever.
Should we Google it?
Yeah, it's not Sochi.
Well, Sochi, the 2018 Winter Olympics.
The 2018 Winter Olympics
are coming, and you know where it's located?
Pyeongchang.
Pyeongchang.
That's right. It's South Korea.
The second time.
Yeah. Okay, so we got that right. It's coming this Friday. I'm super pumped about it. Just all the competition, you know, I feel like a lot of sport or the competition that they have where they like skeet shoot and also ski.
You know, you got the triathlon, something?
Yeah, I don't know. But they have curling too.
I'm a big curling guy. Speed skating, hockey.
Apollo Ono's not around anymore, so no. we gotta kinda adopt new faces.
Yeah.
So Apollo Ono's not a speed skater anymore, he's probably retired.
Nothing better than the Big G or
Super G.
Ooh,
Lindsey Vonn. Yeah.
That is just an absolute.
But that's the thing that's about
a strong race.
Yeah.
When you go down the Super G, right?
Yeah.
Super G, you are going.
Flying.
You are moving.
There's nothing that's not send about you.
Oh, yeah. That is a full send mentality.
Yeah. So we, the Winter Olympics, we're absolutely jazzed about it. There's really nothing else to say about it besides the fact that we're jazzed and we want curling, you know, go USA, obviously, but we're big curling guys. We're big slope style. Half pipe guys. What else are we? Anything else? Speed skating.
We're big Olympic guys.
Figure skating.
We're looking forward to talking to you guys about the Olympics moving forward because we got roughly 3 weeks of it.
Yeah. So let's get after it. Hope you guys have a great week. Hope you guys enjoyed our first podcast. A little shorter for you guys. We appreciate it. We appreciate your endless support. And with that being said, take care.
Take care.